Hi everyone, welcome to the Everything is Time podcast. My name is Jeremy.
My name is Ruby.
And today we're talking about habits in other people that we find weird. I got
basically
that right.
Basically, pet peeves. That's essentially what this is.
Well, pet peeves mean that they annoy us, right? That's the distinction, I think, between pet peeves and just, like, habits that we think are weird.
Okay. Okay, so the habits that we think are weird but don't necessarily annoy us, they just find it strange.
Right. It can be both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have any that immediately come to mind? Do you want me to start?
You go ahead. Let's
see. This I don't understand, and I'm going to maybe make some people mad. The adults that are fascinated with Disney, but to the point where they're, like, at Disney World multiple times a year, have all, like, the Disney kind of
merch
and everything.
The Mickey Mouse ears.
Well, it's just a lot. And I mean, okay, first of all, this is maybe a whole rant. If you go online and see how much it costs to go to Disney World, it's madness.
Also, during a pandemic, well, choices.
In Florida?
Like, in Florida, choices. Right, during a pandemic, even more choices.
But, like, I just don't understand. I don't have a fascination, maybe, or an obsession with something like that to the point where I would be willing to spend a large chunk of money every single year to buy, like, a season pass to then have to fly there constantly in Florida to go to Disney World.
Right.
Like, that doesn't exist for Universal, right?
I'm sure it does. I think it's just more common with Disney. Some people have honeymoons at Disney. And I understand that, then. If they, like, really like Disney and they're like, yeah, let's have our honeymoon there. But there's people, who just go, like, annually with their family. Also, with their family is interesting because it's like, okay, maybe. But also, like, your kids every year are going to Disney World. This is a lot. Also, like, your kid who's, like, 1 or 2 years old, like, how much are they going to remember of Disney World, really?
I mean, I went when I was 7. I remember some of it.
Mm-hmm.
You've been once, right?
I've been once when I was, like, 4 or 5.
Yeah.
I think the only park that I would like to see now is probably Epcot. Everything else, I'm like, give or take, maybe, but...
Which I recall I did not enjoy Epcot when I was 7. But I guess that probably tracks.
Yeah, I don't think it's, like, the one the kids are just flocking to for...
Anyway, I don't know. That's just the first thing that came to mind is that. Because I can't think of really an equivalent...
Interesting.
To that, you know?
But, yeah, I don't know. I guess I've never thought about that with Disney. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah, I mean, if it makes them happy, that's great. I just don't... I can't really wrap my head around myself doing that. So it's just kind of interesting to me. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. It's the first thing that came to mind for me. You have any that come to mind?
I don't understand. Well, I understand it's, like, some. But, okay, parents who, like, if you're a middle schooler and you're in sports, there's always those parents who are just, like, overly, like, dedicated to this team winning. Mm-hmm. And, like, very, like... on the stands, like, shouting, and it's just like, why are you so invested in, like, middle school soccer? I don't think I understand. It's not a pet peeve. I just find it so strange how people can be so dedicated. Like, I can understand being dedicated to, like, wanting your son to get better at soccer, but, like, not to the point where you're just, like, shouting at every game and you're like, you have to win, and, like, this is, like, do or die. It's like, it's middle school soccer.
Well, people will do that for professional sports. They don't know anybody there. The Cowboys have to win, then people are yelling at the screen, you know?
Yeah, but I find it, the weird niche that is, like, middle school, like, mothers or fathers who are at these games with these kids who are in middle school. I'm like, it's really not, like,
it should
that
be fun.
Serious. Yeah, I'm like, but okay, sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's very strange. I'm like, okay, sure, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I agree with you, but it boils down to also just, I don't understand the fascination with sports to where you're so invested in a sports team that you have strong emotional reactions to how they do. Although I guess it's the same as if you're, like, watching the Oscars and you're really invested in a movie.
Yeah, or a singer, things like that.
Right. So, I mean,
same thing.
It's the same thing. I just don't, it doesn't really, like, resonate with me in the same way. Also, I mean, this is tangential. I don't understand coaches of middle school and high school that will yell, that are at 11 the whole time yelling at children to do better at cross country or like soccer?
Yeah, cross country is relatively, like, I've done cross country for like a year. Wouldn't recommend if you don't really like long distance running. But what is yelling at someone who's running going to do? Like, I don't understand yell. Okay, like, okay, you know, maybe you can justify yelling. I mean, I won't justify yelling at all, but like, if you're yelling at soccer team, like, positions that they should maybe be in, it makes sense. But as a runner, it's like, what do you, like, we're going in one direction.
Right.
And the goal is just passing people. It's not like I'm playing defense or offense or like there used to be like coordinated positions. It's like I'm going one way. Why are you yelling? Like, what am I, like, I already know what I'm supposed to be doing.
I mean, I guess it's just they think that you'll go faster. I mean, that's what it is, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just like what? I don't know. It's just, it's mind-boggling, so.
But I mean, even for things that have positions and strategy, I don't really see the point why coaches get so insane.
Oh no, I don't understand it either, but at least I'm like, okay, yelling positions, maybe it's still not yell. I don't still don't understand, but like, it's less baffling than like people yelling at runners to me. I'm just like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, what is the point? You know, it's really weird. I'm like, okay, this isn't Mario Kart. I'm not like this, like, you just like yell at and hope this like, goes fast.
Throw your red shell.
Right, exactly. Take out a red shell. Cross country. I'm immediately disqualified.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. What else don't I understand? I don't understand, and maybe this is just me. Teachers who give you like material for a test and then don't bother to give you a review or at least narrow down what you're supposed to be studying. They're like, here's 10 chapters. The test could be over any of this. I hate that. Like, I don't understand. I'm like, well, like, why not make a review? Like, how difficult is it?
If they make a review, then if things deviate from the review, then they'll get flack for it. So if they don't make a review and they pull random stuff.
Yeah, but it's irritating. It's like, well, what? Like, do you want your students to succeed in the sense of, like, here's 10 chapters. Like, maybe, like, just make a review based off the exam you already have. Like, I don't understand that.
Like, you're assuming the exam they already have.
Right, exactly. Or that they would at least like not make it the night before so they can just put anything on it. I don't understand the teachers who are just like, here's 10 chapters, study what you will. I'm like, this is not student success.
No,
this
it's not like, meant to be. It's
it's just irritating. And so I don't really understand the strategy behind that besides it gives them more time to just not do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's irritating as a student. Yeah.
That's true.
Or the teachers who like, in group projects, make it like a group grade. Like at this point, they should already be like, you know, everybody gets their own grade in a group presentation or something, but there's still teachers who are like, no, you guys are all going to get one grade. I'm like, what a bad idea, but okay.
Yeah. I mean, I will say the one thing that I hated in college, especially in grad school, was okay, I think PowerPoint has a use, and I think it's great that it exists,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know where you're going with this.
But like, there is nothing worse.
Absolutely nothing.
Than a, you know, you come to class, or I guess now it's virtual, but pre-COVID, you go to class, and a professor just sits there and reads from a PowerPoint.
It is so irritating. Because you're sitting there, and you're like, I could have just done this myself.
Right.
Like, this is wasting my time. Also, like, none of what's on the PowerPoint is really going to be valuable information if you're just giving us, like, a review afterward. I don't know. The teachers who read from the PowerPoint is, like, I could just be, like, this entire 40-minute class could just be a sheet of paper, and I'd be fine. So it's just, like, a waste of time. So I hate that also. Yeah, the teachers who do PowerPoints and then it's the next level to that is teachers who use other previous teachers' PowerPoints and read it off. So while they're reading it, they don't know what they're reading, and it's like their first time reading the PowerPoint to you, and they're like, I wonder what they meant by that. And I'm like, if you don't know what they meant by that, it's like their first time looking at the other teacher's PowerPoint that they're using. I'm like, I don't know, like, any suggestions? I'm like,
what does that mean?
Yeah, no, okay, great, thanks. I love that for me.
One of my favorites was, like, I think junior year. There was a professor who had his TA, like a PhD student, make the PowerPoint, and he didn't look at it beforehand. And so every time he'd come to class, it was a surprise.
Oof.
It was horrible.
Yeah, PowerPoints can be useful, but I don't think they're like...
I don't think they're a net positive for education.
Oh my God. I don't understand teachers who think that just because they have a PhD, they can show up late. I've always heard, at least from other professors and like teachers and stuff, that it's like 15 minutes and then you can just leave, right? If they don't show up. But if it's someone who has a PhD, then it's like 20 minutes or something. So I had this professor who, like, our class started at like, let's say like 9 o'clock, right? Mm-hmm. So like I was always there 10 minutes early and she would not get here till 9:15, which is like right before we can like technically get up and leave and not be counted absent.
Right.
And it's just like every single time. And I'm like, what is the point of this? And it's just, it's so irritating. Like really? Like.
No, that's annoying.
So I don't understand why high schools teach MLA when you're just going to use APA in college. I'm like, thank you.
I think it depends on what major you are. I knew English majors who used MLA.
I always used APA in college. Or Turabian. God forbid I use Turabian. I don't like Turabian, but like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, APA or Turabian. Yeah, I'd say the most common use for me is also APA. But yeah, I think it depends on the program you're in.
Way better. I like APA, but I know how to do MLA better, so I just can format it faster, but like APA is more pleasing and makes way more sense. The organization of information in APA formatting is so much better than MLA's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can actually break it down into sections.
Exactly. And MLA, it's like, now I have to write a sentence that connects to this idea. I'm like, here's a title. This is what I'm talking about.
But to be fair, I think you can probably, I understand why as an English major, or for writing like lit analysis papers, you would use MLA. There's a skill in being able to write sentences that sort of have everything
right. Flow. No, I understand that MLA, I think, is more like literary analysis. It would be really strange to have it broken off into sections because it has to be a connecting idea from like a thesis. I mean, I'm trying to think of like useless, like there are some things that I thought were useless learning growing up that I realized were not useless afterwards. Like, I always thought, like, Latin. Because we had to take Latin, like, my freshman year of high school. Like, they made us. You couldn't take anything else. And I was like, this is such a waste. Dead language. But it actually helped me quite a bit in terms of, like, understanding. Like, I can just guess the meanings of words based on, like, Latin words I know. Or, like, word within a word.
Yeah.
I always thought that was, like, the most useless thing. Like, one weird, like, word within a word, for those of you who don't know, is just basically, like, you have vocabulary lists every week and they're like pretty long vocabulary words and you have like a quiz over them each week or a test at the end of like 4 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
I said that was the most useless thing ever and it actually helped me quite a bit. So
yeah,
I can't hate that.
It's not useless. It's annoying, but it's not useless.
No, but I think when it comes to English, things are rarely useless because it's like an active language. But if I think about all the stuff I learned in like biology, I'm like, I literally didn't need to know any of this, nor will I ever have to really know any of this in the future. Unless it's like anatomy and physiology, some things. It's like, okay, this was useful to know. But otherwise, it's like, I mean, just our high school was like quite intense with that. But I just like, you just need to like figure out what's a good foundational knowledge that everyone should have. And I don't think it's like sections that are 25 pages long for each chapter that you have a test over in biology when you're not going to go into biology. I don't think that needs to be foundational knowledge that every high schooler has.
Right, but then the issue though is how do you separate people?
What I'm saying is that like, you know, it should still be like a less intense version of each of the subjects. Is what I'm saying.
I mean, but that's the idea of like pre-AP versus normal or AP versus normal, right?
But our high school really didn't give us like a... Okay. Yeah, our entire high school functioned off of, like, there wasn't really a choice. Like, you were AP.
But I will say history was very different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
The dual credit one with that teacher was hard.
Yeah. Okay, history was definitely different. But, like, everything else was just, like, I mean, for a while, English was also split. But I feel like there really wasn't any difference between what you guys were doing and what we were doing.
Like, I think really just like the tests were different is from what I can remember.
I don't know.
That's what our teacher told us. She's like, yeah, the tests are different and like the amount of work is slightly different, but we were still like reading the same stuff.
Right.
You know?
I think the problem was there just wasn't like a level for it was like some things were way unnecessarily hard and then other things that should be hard or not. You have a Spanish 1 student in class with a Spanish 3 student and they're getting the same material was interesting. I don't know. That's my pet peeve. I don't really know what pet peeve I just listed, but it was one of those.
The entire schooling.
Essentially. I'm like, I don't even know this. No, I think it was just like, what was it? Oh, yeah, like learning certain subjects that I thought were going to be useless and then weren't.
Here's a question. What do you think, like, the Texas core stuff you take freshman, sophomore year, that isn't major related, do you think that's a good thing for people to take or a bad thing for people to take?
It depends. So, like...
No. You gotta pick one. Do you think overall it's a positive or a negative? You can't give me it depends. We have two options in the world, right? You either keep it or you change degree plans where they're so totally tailored to your major.
I would do that. I would change it to totally tailor to my major. But at the same time, a lot of people change their majors. So then it's kind of like, but also like, that's just another, but what I'm saying, it depends, is because like, I personally think it's dumb and that they should just have us in our major, like freshman year. But there are a lot of people I know who their high school curriculum was really weak. And so then when they go into their first 2 years of like college, it's really hard to do basic English papers.
Yeah.
And things like that. And so if their writing skills are not very good, like, it's going to be really hard to be successful in your core classes. So I understand why it's there. Because I've met a lot of people who would just basic subjects for the first 2 years really struggled because their high school curriculum was really poor. Mm. We were lucky because ours was, like, almost way harder than what we experienced, at least our first 2 years. There are a lot of people who did not know a lot at all. And then they went to their first year of college and they struggled a lot. Which is, like, geography, mm-hmm. writing papers... reading was not like something that people really could do for in terms of classics and stuff like that. So
I'll give the unpopular opinion. I am pro core curriculum in college. I understand that people may not want to have to deal with some of the classes, but at the same time, they're almost like necessary metrics by which if you're a person that has a degree of that stature, you should be able to make them through, you know?
I mean, I think it should just be a choice. Like, I think if there needs to be an exam that you can pass and just skip those first 2 years, because I could have easily skipped 2 years of that and have been fine. But, like, at the same time, like, I mean, I enjoy the classes the first 2 years. Like, I didn't mind doing that because it was easy for me. But there's so many people who, like, it wasn't easy for. And so, like, I understand why it's important, but I don't know. I can see how, like, you know what I do not like? I'm not pro... the high schools that are giving out like the first 2 years, like, you know, like when you graduate from high school and you already have your associate's degree.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because of all the dual credit stuff.
Yeah. I'm not in favor of that. I'm like, no, like absolutely not.
Why?
Because it's like the mentality you have in high school is not going to be the same in college. Like just high schoolers taking college classes is not the same as you actually being in college as a college student. It's just a different mentality. Like, dual credit in with college, I'm not, like, a fan of.
I don't know. I guess I'm not... So what's the alternative, right? So if you're trying to not take, like, on-level something, right? Your choices are usually dual credit or AP. I'll be honest, I don't know how much use AP really has. It's dumb because you have these AP tests that you take. You get a score on it. Depending on what school you go to, the score either gives you credit for it or doesn't give you credit for it.
Right.
Versus like dual credit, you know, assuming usually if you stay in the state that you're taking the dual credit stuff in, it usually transfers. So it's like, I understand why people are doing the dual credit stuff with the associate's degree. If the alternative is take a AP class and then take a test, which may or may not be.
Yeah.
That you have to pay for too.
I don't know. Maybe the first 2 years are a good thing because I think even if it's easy for you, it's still an introduction into college.
Yeah.
And so it's a good foundation until you get thrown into your junior, senior classes. And you don't want to be thrown into that, like, as a freshman mentality, in my opinion. So, yeah, I guess core curriculum is good. And to be honest, it was a lot easier than, like, I think I have more qualms about, like, our high school education was great. Like, I'm not complaining, but I think I have more qualms about, like, what material was given in high school than I did in college. Because in college, it felt, like, fair. It's like, okay, this is a decent amount of, like, information that I think would be really useful. But in some science classes in high school, it was, like, the most niche piece of information that I was having to search for that I could not care less about. So,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. My science classes in college were kind of like that. But that was my fault, I took. But.
Oh, okay. I liked my science classes in college.
I liked mine, too. I still don't like math,
but, like...
Well, I will say that I think people should have to take math in college. I don't care what your major is.
Like, okay, I understand math in the sense of, like, statistics, yeah, okay. Algebra, yeah, maybe. Like, I'm not a fan of math, but at the same time, like, I understand how it's useful, but also I hate it. So I'm not, like, someone who's like, yes, I love doing math. I'm going to use this 24/7. Even though you kind of do, I think it would be better to take like a finance course in statistics as math and then have that done in core. I do not see the need to take like algebra.
Well, I know for one of the core classes for me that I had to do was like basic accounting.
Oh, I didn't have to do that. So
it was like, you know, I don't love accounting. I don't find
it to be core.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I didn't have to do that.
But I mean, it was good. Like, I kind of learned, you know, the basics of that, and that's useful. That is the thing I will complain about. We've moved on from things like pet peeves from other people to like things we just don't like, which is very on brand. I do not understand why high school does not offer some sort of like financial planning
that needs class. To be implemented. Yeah, it was really strange because I remember in like middle school they had that. It's the strangest thing.
Did they?
Like,
I did not school? Have that.
No, but school. They did. It was like a financial, like at least my middle school, like in 7th and 8th grade, it was an option to do that or like a intensive like a reading class. So it was like either you're reading literature or you're learning like accounting, kind like basic, like very basic stuff.
But like it's how to write like, a check and things stuff like that.
Yeah. Or like things like that. It's like, okay, well, yeah, kind of like balancing.
The checkbook, I would
yeah,
say.
Stuff like that. Yeah. But like, that's not an option high school, which should be. I also don't understand why, like, home ec isn't implemented anymore. It's, like, I feel like yeah. that would be useful. Because, like, there's some people who just, like, I feel like you kind of need to know just some of, like, the basic stuff with home that comes with home ec. I don't know. I feel like those classes will probably be there. But and there's some high school classes that make absolutely no sense. Like, I don't understand, like, okay, I understand computer class when it comes to, like, Mavis Beacon. If you know what we're talking about, it's, like, this, like, typing program. I thought it was the dumbest thing ever, but like I appreciate it now. Well, do I appreciate it now? Maybe not, because I really don't think that helped me improve my typing.
No.
I really think it was just like the explosion of the internet being more popular and me like getting a Facebook. I'm like, Facebook taught me typing, not Mavis Beacon. I'm like, whatever. But like, yeah, I don't know how like computer class really did anything for me if I think back to it. I know what it was trying to do, mm-hmm. but like, was it really doing what it needed to do?
Yeah, I think computer class also was like, here's how you learn the basics of
PowerPoint. Excel.
Go back to that, you know, PowerPoint. But yeah, PowerPoint,
that's
Excel.
That's useful, though. Like,
it
well,
is.
No, like Word and Excel and all those kind of... Like, I hated, like, my first freshman year of high school because I had to do, like, Excel spreadsheets and all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, what are all these functions? It was so annoying. So, but now I'm like, well, yeah, okay. I understand that, but... I'm trying to think of like a completely useless class that's offered that's just like, why is this a class? Like,
well, that's gonna sound bad.
What?
Like the Bible classes we had to take, but that was more just like personal preference.
My thing was like, why was it Bible all 3 years and then senior year they named it Worldview? Like, was it supposed to deviate? That's my question. Like, was the original curriculum like a deviation of like did this person just not teach it right, or was the curriculum just meant to be a Bible class? And
I think it was meant to be the facade of, you're going out into the world, we're going to teach you about all various things in life, and then you're going to walk away knowing that Christianity is the only way. Mm-hmm. I think that was the intent, versus Bible, which was just like, here are some verses to learn. That was the intent.
Is that what it was for y'all?
I
was not in your class at all until senior year.
I mean, you had the same person. It was a lot of like Bible verses. Well, he was still like talking about personal experiences and stuff, but it wasn't as like, let me put it this way. Sophomore year Bible class was never like, let me teach you an alternative version of science. Like that wasn't a thing, or at least it wasn't like a whole unit.
Yeah.
Because the intent was different, I think.
Right.
Didn't make it good. In fact, it made it worse, but...
Mm-hmm. I also think the whole notion of, like, letting the students learn, like, languages on Rosetta Stone was such a waste. That was at least 3 people who were learning, also, not just, like, any languages, like, Mandarin. There's no way that you can learn Mandarin off of Rosetta Stone.
I mean, I'd be shocked if people can learn Mandarin even in a college setting. The only way I think you'd be fluent is just being forced to speak it, right?
Absolutely. Like, you'd have to like go there. I mean even the minimal time you get in like a classroom with a professor who is, you know, from China, and you have classmates who are from China, it's like, okay, that helps, but like
you leave the class though.
Not with what?
You leave the class and you're back in the English world.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, like, unless you, like, make it a... Unless you, like, go... Well, that can work for some languages, though. Because I feel like Japanese and Korean you could learn without moving there. But Chinese, forget it. Because of the tonal difference. Like, it's just almost nearly impossible. But also, Rosetta Stone. I was like, why in the world is our high school? Like, yeah, this is your language credit. So I think there need to be, like, a weighing of, like, what's more important? Like, English, yes. I feel like foreign languages should be up there, even though... I mean, there's even debate whether you... people should even need to take foreign languages. So, I don't know. That turned into us just, like, ranting about education.
Well, I mean, yeah, it did. But, I mean, the one other thing that was gone by the time we were in high school, awesome. I would have preferred there if there was a shop class or, like, a woodworking class.
That would have been useful.
Because I think that's also, you're going to get me, like, crapping on the university systems again in college, but, like, there's this whole push for everybody to go to college. Not everybody should go to college.
That's true.
A lot of people should go to trade school. But the issue is, without any sort of prior knowledge of any of the trades, why would you naturally think to go to trade school?
Yeah.
Like, maybe you have a whole gift at doing this that you don't know about because we're pushing people to go to college when it doesn't make sense all the time, you know? To me, that's just my own opinion, but it's like, I don't think people should accumulate tens of thousands of dollars of debt for something they don't want.
Yeah, or really don't need at this point. I mean, a degree is just a degree unless you're going to something very, very niche. You don't really need it. I mean, you need the sense that you need a degree to say you have a degree, but that doesn't mean you need a degree in what you're doing. For a lot of things. Some things it's different, but like a lot of things it's like... Yeah, our education system is something. So, yeah. I'm trying to think of other things... I mean, I understand why PE is there. That's not anything I've ever questioned. It's like, people shouldn't be forced. Yes, they should.
They should.
Absolutely. Art, I understand. I don't know about music. Okay, like, I understand music, but I mean, it's because I'm bitter. No, it's not true. I really enjoyed music, but it's the same thing. Why are you yelling at a bunch of third or fourth graders to play violin better? It's like, I'm trying. It's like, okay.
Do you think study hall in general is useful?
No, because it's really just a time to be social. Yeah. But that's not true. Well, okay, if I had study hall in the morning, I would get homework done that I didn't have study hall at all. But, like, if I did, I would have definitely used that time more wisely? I don't know.
Wisely.
I'm great in English. In the morning than, like, at the end of the day. I don't know how... I think it's
in the morning,
more useful than, like, study groups. I think study groups are, like, literally so dumb. There's no point... Unless you were studying with, like, a TA and, like, other students who, like, want to, like, learn stuff, if it's just you and your friends who are like, let's go study, let me tell you, that's not going to work. I've tried it so many times, and we just end up at, like, a coffee shop talking with our books there. So it's, like, studying, but it's really not studying because, like, we didn't really learn anything. So.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, sort of the study groups are very reliant upon who's in the group.
Yeah, but I mean, you can have studious students in a group and still have nothing done. Like, I could see, like, our group of people who, like, were quite studious still get together and still not learn anything.
Yeah.
So I would not say that. And I mean, I think the problem at our school also was study groups would not have worked because there was just too much of a hierarchy and too many, like, problems set in place that just wouldn't have worked at all. So
I mean, I didn't even like study groups in college. Like, what use does it provide versus just studying on your own and texting people specific questions you have, you know?
There's really no information that someone can necessarily give that's not already just in the text. And so I'm like, well, I don't know what the point of this is. Mm-hmm. There has to be something that, like, we really hated.
In what?
In, like, this is a dumb class. Is doing musicals, like, a useful thing to do when you're younger? I don't really know. I don't know if that counts as, like, this is so great for, like, development. Or if we're just, like, sheep who are being herded in to do, like, a production.
It's both. They have us. I mean, I think it's useful. It's useful to get in front of a group of people and do something you're uncomfortable with. You know? I think that's useful.
I mean, in our, like, middle school, not our middle school, and, like, my middle school and, like, elementary school, it was, like, you either did music or you did sports. So I was always not stuck with music. But I was like, okay, violin, choir, musicals, and if you weren't doing that, then you had to be like a sports person, and I'm not like a jock type person, so like I was definitely not like, yes, I want to join like the volleyball team.
Mm-hmm.
It was not me. I don't, yeah, you know, but kudos to those students who we're getting up early for cross country practice, making it to school at 8 a.m., spending all day at school, going to meets afterwards, and still somehow getting their homework done consistently every single day, every single week. Like, that is too much, honestly. Especially at our high school, like, there's real MVPs. I don't know how they did it.
It's an uplifting message to end on. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have no idea how we transitioned into this movie.
This movie is one that I picked because I vaguely remember a scene from it when I was younger. I know I've seen it when I was younger. I had no idea what it was really about except this guy who goes to a party. And I told Jeremy, I'm like, we have to watch it. We did not have to watch it.
Well, it is a must-see in that I've never seen a movie like it. You know, like, I can't compare this to anything.
The whole plot is like this quote-unquote Indian guy goes to a party in Hollywood that he's like not, he accidentally gets put on the guest list for. He's not really meant to be there. Mm-hmm. And he goes to this Hollywood party and chaos ensues. That is the shortest version of this movie I can give you. And probably the least offensive version of this movie I can give you, because it was very problematic.
I mean, we'll dive into more of the
problematic stuff. I think it was 1968 when this came out, though.
That sounds right.
And yeah, you go ahead, Jeremy.
Well, okay. So she said, I saw it as a kid. The guy is like going to a party. I'm like, okay, sure. It opens with what I can only describe as Scottish Army playing the bagpipes, like marching through the desert and then being shot at by people. And I'm like, is it a war movie? Is it a, like also like, why are people with bagpipes wandering through the desert? And it goes on for a long time before you realize that it's actually like a movie set. Like, it's probably 5-10 minutes of that. Are you okay?
Yeah. It was like 5 or 10 minutes of like people shooting at these like guys with bagpipes, which is
kilts, an interesting
move. And then there's this one guy who's like playing the trumpet that like literally was shot so many times and was still playing the trumpet.
Well, that's
and
him.
At that point we were like, yeah, this is the quote unquote Indian guy who like,
so wait, actually this is a new layer. So he's so it's a white guy. He's a white guy. He's from Southern England, just to be clear, who is wearing brown face as a quote unquote Indian, who's then dressed up as
like part of the Taliban. There's just so many layers to this. I'm like, yeah, he is part of the Taliban, I guess, but like also like it's on a movie set, so they had him cast as part of that as an Indian guy. This is also like Peter Sellers, right, the guy who played like the original Pink Panther. So like I guess this movie did well because he was in it, but yeah, they had him essentially, so far the movie is Peter Sellers, who's not Indian, playing an Indian guy who is in this movie, being casted in a movie to play a part of the Taliban.
So many layers of just
within like the first 10 minutes, it's already like, what is this?
Well, it was so confusing. And then it made more sense when it was like, it's a movie set. I'm like, okay.
And then make more sense.
Versus Taliban shooting at the Scottish. I would say, yeah, it makes more sense than that.
I was wondering why they walked in with bagpipes. I was like, what is the game plan here? In a war zone with just bagpipes, like weapon of choice is bagpipes?
I don't know. Well, and then his whole thing is he kept messing up the scene with the trumpet, and then he accidentally blew up the set before they were recording it, because there's a scene that they were trying to get the fort, quote unquote, which didn't really look like a fort. But anyway, the fort exploding, and then he did so prior to them filming. And so
he kept messing up.
Right, which is, I guess, a character trope for the whole movie, is that he can't seem to do anything, quote correct, unquote, right, and he just messes up.
I mean, in many ways, this is like the Inspector Clouseau of this movie. So the guy, like, he's kicked off the movie set for blowing up their set, which, you know, okay. So this guy, like, they write his name down, and, like, the secretary thinks, like, his name was written accidentally on, like, a sheet of paper with, like, a bunch of guests who were supposed to go to a Hollywood party. Yeah. The secretary ends up inviting him to this Hollywood party. And this is kind of where the movie starts, because this is where the credits start. So
like, 15, 20 minutes in.
Yeah. And so the whole plot, I really don't know how to explain this plot, if I'm being honest with you, because it really is just, like,
well,
him walking around the house for a good hour and a half.
Well, an hour. The movie was an hour and a half. I'd say the first 15, 20 minutes are him cosplaying as a terrorist.
Right. Yeah. And here he's just a white guy pretending to be an Indian guy. So still problematic.
Yep.
Still in brown face. Still with an accent that, like, is not the worst portrayal of an Indian accent I've heard. I mean, that's a problematic sentence. But, like, you know, like, I think that, like...
I get what you're saying, though.
If I heard that accent and I couldn't tell that this guy was obviously, like, not Indian, I could maybe think, oh, maybe he's Indian. But let me tell you, the makeup, whoever did his makeup on set needs to be fired. Like, I have questions.
Are we even convinced it's the same person through the whole movie? I'm not. I'm convinced they hired, like, 7 different makeup artists. They're like, let's make him a different shade every scene. Oh,
even the main actor. I'm like, what do you mean? Yeah, of course it's the same actor.
No, the makeup artist. I mean... He changed skin tone drastically depending on what scene you were in.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just take a shade and stick with it. Like, I do not understand.
Also, none of them... Like, if I were looking at him, right, I would never think Indian. I would think, like, outcast Jersey Shore member got stuck in a tanning bed and he's horribly burned. But yeah. But also, I guess his hands were in, like, the extra strength... tanning bed because they were not the same shade as his face.
It was less like Indian skin tone and more like I just rolled around in like hot Cheetos. Well, like that's essentially
no, really. Like to me, it reminded me of like I mean I'm Italian American. I can say it's like Italian American who loves tanning. That's the vibe I got from the face, not the hands. I don't know what the hands were.
The hands were an attempt. At least a better attempt, but not a good attempt. None of this was a good attempt. Let me tell you. No. Nor should it have been attempted in the first place, but it was.
Ooh, and remember his eyeliner and eye makeup the whole movie?
I want to know, like, what Indians they looked at and were like, yes, this is exactly what an Indian looks yeah, like.
Like, what Indians did they look like? Like, he needs a smoky eye. Because that is
offensive. Can you imagine them scouting you as, like a model to try to make this guy look like an Indian? And then this is what they come up with? I would be so offended. Can
you
imagine?
Like, you go there and they're like, inspired by you.
It's like easy breezy beautiful cover.
Right.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Maybe.
Right. Yeah. I would be really offended if someone scouted me and then that's how that turned out. And like you invite all your friends to the premiere.
like you were the hand model.
What if they just got different Indians like I don't understand who came up with this because, like, none of his makeup, like, the makeup on the face did not match the makeup on the hands. And then, like, at some point he falls into a pool and then, like, his makeup is, like, he's just white then.
Yeah.
With an accent. The accent was the only thing that was consistent throughout this whole thing. And he's not the only problematic character. I mean, he is the main problematic character.
I mean, there are other stereotypes.
There are other stereotypes, but none quite as bad as, like, this guy. The other stereotypes were, like, matador guy who is Texan who throws an occasional Spanish words.
Wyoming. Well, I mean, those outfits, they were... That kind of outfit was common in, like, 60s and 70s. Especially like country music, there was a lot of that. And in Westerns, there was a lot of that. Doesn't make it, you know, any more or less problematic. But when I saw it, I at least knew what reference it was. If I look at the main character, I have no idea what reference that is.
Which, by the way, it's not a reference to anything. In fact, it is a reference because this character was the one that inspired the Simpsons character. Who's the Simpsons guy who's Indian? The problematic Simpsons character who's Indian. That guy was... vaguely inspired by this character that Peter Sellers played in this movie. So fun fact, it's inspired more problematic characters in the media for South Asian representation. I love that.
I don't think any of the other stereotypes were as bad because they didn't get the same amount of screen time. He was in every single scene.
Well, not that, but like none of the other stereotypes were as bad. Because you didn't have to take into consideration skin tone necessarily, and putting some guy who's clearly white in brown face, and not even well. I mean, I'm not saying like you need to do that or you should never do that, but like okay, let's say, because, like, I thought about this, right? And, like, you know, people who like this movie are the older generation who are like, yo, it was, like, the 60s and it's fine back then. I'm like, okay, so let's say you're in a context where it's considered quote-unquote fine. You're still not doing it well. Like, the skin tone did not match. The accent, okay, but, like, that's so strange. Like, can you imagine, like, being someone who's Indian who's like, this is a voice coach for this Indian accent. It's like, okay, well, interesting, but I don't know how that wasn't problematic, but it wasn't his first movie where he portrayed an Indian.
Which is horrifying.
Yeah. Oh, there was also, like, a lot of Indian jokes, but the joke wasn't even necessarily stereotyping Indians. It was like Native Americans, and they were just, like, interchanging them as, like, a joke, and so that was very problematic.
I mean, I think it's also worth mentioning the fact that this is a quote-unquote comedy, and I refuse to refer to this as a comedy.
It is. It is a, well, if you look it up, it's, like, a experimental comedic film.
Okay, putting aside the brown face, which you really can't, but putting it to the side, where are the jokes?
The joke was him. Like, that was the whole point of the movie, was that he was supposed to be the joke. Although, like, the thing is, if you look up this movie, it has quite good ratings, even in 2020 and 2021. And so some people are like, no, racism is not a problem in this movie. And it is amusing.
I mean, I just feel like for it to be a comedy, even if it's predominantly the main character, and say the main character is a stereotype, a really bad one, like this one was, I didn't find him, in terms of his actual, like, words, to be funny. I didn't find him to be a very funny character. I didn't find him to be a very, like, sympathetic character. I know you're reading some reviews where they're like, oh, he's so kind and we relate to him and he seems like a very nice guy.
I hope no one relates to this guy. I mean, like, he's not, like, that great.
He's not a victim to me. Like, all the things that happened to him, like, 90% of the things that happened to him in this movie, it's like, well, you were doing something weird in the house and then things happened. Like,
right. And so he's just like, no one in this film is relatable. Like, everybody is just like just hollow. Like, all the other characters have no substance.
Well, also, they're not relatable because it's him. And then the entire rest of the set is all Hollywood elite.
Well, yeah, but even then, they don't even develop any of the other characters. The only character who's maybe developed slightly is the drunk waiter, who just is so drunk and doesn't get fired at all. So, yeah.
Maybe we should talk a little bit more about... Before we talk a little bit more about the plot, the thing I couldn't get over in this movie is the sky.
Yeah.
I think it was supposed to be nighttime, right?
Yeah.
Was it?
Like, it was supposed to be nighttime.
But the hue of the sky was not the right color at all.
It's like if somebody took a movie... It's like somebody built this movie set in the Omni Theater. And they were like, okay, film. And, like, that's essentially what the hue you're getting is. It's just, like, this really weird, like, gradient from, like, black to, like, this really weird pale white color. And it's like, well, that's not really what the sky looks like, but okay.
Not at all. So, I mean, I guess he gets to the house and he loses his shoe in what I can only describe is the Nile River flowing through the house.
Yeah, this whole house is, like, a river flowing through it. It's supposed to be very bougie, but, like, I don't know.
But, you know, he spends 5 to 10 minutes just trying to get his shoe back. So you have to watch him just walk around the house awkwardly.
Ugh, and then you have to watch the shoe fall on top of the waiter's serving tray and him not notice it for a good, like, minute or two.
That's the other thing. Every single scene was too long.
The dinner scene, every scene in this movie also was not funny and it was too long. But I remember people really thinking it was funny when I was younger. So, like, maybe it's just, like, a different audience that this, like, appeals to. I don't know what kind of humor this audience would, but like you said, a lot of people find this funny. And I can't tell if that's because it's a different audience and so it's a different type of humor, or the people who are finding it funny are just people who find stereotypes hilarious.
I don't know, because I think, honestly, if I had to guess, I think the type of humor is physical comedy. True. I mean, that's what the entire shoe scene was. It was him, you know, gesticulating and walking around and, you know, jumping over things.
But we like that kind of comedy.
We like that kind of comedy when it's paired with a ridiculous situation or funny dialogue or ridiculous dialogue. Even the stereotyping in the other movies that was bad, like Dr. Goldfitz saying that we the Chinese,
okay, but
right?
He wasn't, like, dressed up as someone
I'm
who
sorry,
was Chinese.
He was dressed up and he's surrounded by two people who are supposedly from China, and he's like, we the Chinese. It's problematic, it is. But it's also ridiculous.
I mean, it's problematic, but at least he's not, like, in some kind of, like, stereotype costume. Like, he's not, like, in the middle, like, putting on makeup to make himself look more Asian. It's also, like, we the Chinese. It was literally just him. It made it ridiculous because he was just himself in the middle of two Chinese people being, like, we the Chinese.
Right, but I'm saying it's still... That movie was utterly ridiculous. The dialogue, a lot of it was funny. It was a ridiculous situation. And that, in the context of everything else, was like, okay, this isn't objectively great, but it's ridiculous in the audacity of it all. This movie, it's not a ridiculous situation, really. I mean, okay, they misplaced his name. He's on this list now. Sure. He's just acting deranged amongst what is a Hollywood party. That's what this movie is. And none of the scenes are interesting because none of the other characters are particularly interesting. It's just a Hollywood party.
Yeah, and he keeps, like, messing it up. I'm trying to think of, like, an equivalent or something that would be, like, somewhat similar to something like this. I don't want to compare it to this movie because I love this movie. So, besides all the racial stereotypes, if you just take it out and be like, it's some guy in, like, a very normal setting messing everything up, it's kind of like Elf, where he's kind of just, like, living in the regular world and he's, like, messing everything up. Like, taking down their Christmas tree, you know, like, doing stuff like that. But not in any kind of comedic context at all. And it's very offensive. So, at least Elf, it was amusing. Like, I don't, like, this was not amusing. No. Like, this was, and maybe it's because it's hard to really get past, like, stereotypes in this movie. Like, like, the whole main character who's this main focus is, like...
Yeah, I mean, you're staring at the stereotype for an hour and a half.
Exactly.
And, I mean, I'll give an example of a situation that, like, you know, is supposed to be comedic. You know, there's a, like, a panel on the wall that controls the intercom for the house, which is a thing, I guess. It controls the amount of water coming out of the various fountains and all the fire coming out of the fire pit. And I think the scene was supposed to be funny where he's sort of like changing some of the dials and one of the people gets splashed with water, another person gets burned. But like, where's the actual comedy in that?
Right. Because the thing is, like, you have a character who does ridiculous things, but then is apologetic about it. Like, if they had made him where he just didn't care, it would have been way more funny because it's like, it's ridiculous and he just does not care.
Well, also, all these things are happening to characters who we don't know. They're all undeveloped.
But that's the same with Dr. Goldfoot. Like, we did not know half of those characters. And, like, he still did ridiculous things to them. And it was like, okay, I'm fine with that.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Because he just did it with such confidence. That, like if Dr. Goldfoot was in that scene where he, like, pulls in the table or whatever, like, that, he probably wouldn't have cared. And that would have made it more amusing. Well, and I mean,
that's an interesting point because this idea of confidence with his character. He seemed to be very apologetic, but then he would walk into scenarios that he would get himself into.
He was supposed to be naive and then apologetic. So naive in the sense that he would get himself in these things and then he'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to be here. So just portraying as like a naive character, he doesn't have confidence. I don't think there's ever an instance where he was confident in any situation.
Maybe this is the distinction too. Dr. Goldfoot always had very clear intent. You knew what he wanted. What did this guy want? Did he want to fit in? I don't really buy that.
I don't think so. I don't think there was anything that... There is no goal. This character didn't have any goal. I don't know. I mean, you think the goal would be to be more liked in Hollywood and then to get more movie roles, but that's really not what he was going for. It would have been different if he had walked into the situation and pretended like he was a known actor or he would like talk to people. But even then, he really did not converse with people.
No.
Well, he was like by himself a lot of the times. It just seemed like he walked in there wanting to experience it once and then he really didn't care if he went back or not.
Yeah.
It was like a museum for him. Like, that's the problem. Like, all the other characters were acting like they were at a party in a house, and he was acting like he was in a museum.
That's a good way of putting it, yeah. Well, we got to talk about the romance with him and Big Bird Lady.
Oh, well, that... Okay, so she sings a song, and I guess he, like, falls in love with her, and then they're, like, a couple. They're not really a couple, but they like each other. And then something happens, and all of a sudden the whole house is filled with, like... suds, because it's like a giant, all of a sudden it's like a giant, like a communal bath.
This is the bad thing. Where the daughter of the homeowner brought in a literal elephant that was painted with like
slogans
and political jargon and stuff on it. And then they had the audacity to be like, "Hey, Indian man, is this appropriate?" And he's like, "No, it's an animal from my homeland. We must wash it. And the solution is to fill the pool with soap."
Right, but it wasn't just the pool, because it was like a river running through the house. So everything had suds in it. And all of a sudden it becomes a frat party real fast. And so, like...
And they're trying to clean... Did they ever clean the elephant?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I just remember this is where his makeup starts to come off. And then, like... Anyway, so that happens. And then, like... I mean, eventually the director guy's like, "Oh, yeah, he's the one." But they don't really catch him because he drives off in a car with his long-lost love, whatever her name... I don't even know her name. I just know she's a girl in yellow dress. And then they, like, drive off, and he, like, drops her home, and he has, like, a hat, and there's, like, this whole exchange. The dialogue in this movie...
Oh, my God.
...was not great. And so, like, he gives her the hat and says he'll, like, come pick it up sometime. And so I guess they're, like, a thing now. And that's, like, where the movie ends. Thank God it ends there. A little too late, but, like, you know.
It's a long movie.
For what, though? What message does this movie give?
I don't think this movie has a theme.
But it's not even comedic to me. Like I said, I know people who find it comedic, and it's
maybe the only comparison I can think of in terms of like people that are awkward or supposed to be awkward and naive in an environment full of other people is like Napoleon Dynamite. But like that is the only thing I can maybe kind of see. Yeah. As a comparison, I honestly, when I first watched Napoleon Dynamite, I didn't really find it all that funny either, if I'm being frank.
I don't remember it well enough to remember if I found it funny. I just know it's like a cult classic. I don't know. This movie, like, was it the Napoleon Dynamite of the 60s? I don't really know.
Here's a question. Say that this were like a, I don't know, like an Italian-American immigrant who's naive, right? And say he didn't have the brown face on. Right? Would you have found this movie funny?
No.
I don't think so. That's my problem. I don't think I would have either.
I don't know how people find it comedic, but people do. So, you know, to each their own. But I just think it's just like the movie by itself wasn't funny. And then just the added layer upon layer of stuff that was wrong with it was just like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't recommend this movie.
No. Well, like I said, it's an interesting thing to see in that. Like I said, I've never really seen a movie like it. I can't say I was necessarily comfortable watching it.
Well, I hope not. It was very weird.
It was weird. It wasn't funny. And the pacing was awful.
It's like they were like, we have Peter Sellers. Everything else is irrelevant. And they kind of just threw stuff together.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, hit movie. Which it was, though. It was very popular. My parents' generation was like, yeah, it was a very popular movie. A lot of people really like it. And from that generation, yeah. I mean, we have like family friends who like... introduced us to that movie when I was younger, and they're also Indian, so like I guess also with like the Indian community, this is like a thing, like a movie that's fine.
I don't know,
question mark. I don't know, but like
I want to give this movie the lower bound of whatever our scale is, but
I thought our scale was 0 to 10.
Okay,
there's nothing likable about it. Like
the only point I could give is the waiter was mildly amusing in parts, kind of.
Was he mildly amusing? He was more irritating. It was like, why is this guy still working here? Why? Yeah. What is like?
Zero.
Maybe the 1 point for Jeremy goes to the girl who is singing on the guitar.
Absolutely not. That was painful. Also, like, I'm playing the guitar, but there are magical flutes playing in a piano. Like, we're
just, yeah.
The audacity of them being like, the orchestra has all gone home. We have nothing, but here's a guitar. Meanwhile, piano and flutes are somehow playing in accordance with the guitar. Sure.
Right.
This is a no from me, dog. I think 0 out of 10. Is this the worst movie thus far?
This is the worst movie in terms of like, it didn't feel like Vampire's Kiss was bad, but this is worse. But I think Vampire's Kiss, we were more agitated when we watched it. This one, we were more like bored and confused as to what it was trying to be. So it's just bad in a different way. But Vampire's Kiss, we gave like a 3 out of 10. So
high spirits.
Oh,
I think this is worse
than High Spirits.
I think it is, yeah.
Because it's offensive towards a race, yes. But High Spirits is horrible, so don't watch that either.
All right, well, I guess 0 out of 10. I mean, yeah, don't watch it unless you just really want to see something that's strange, I guess.
Yeah.
That's really the only reason I can think of.
Literally no other reason.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our movie. I guess we're transitioning to the book review.
So we're pulling from Roderick Rules, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Okay. We'll see how this goes. The only reason I said yes was because I thought it was some kind of video game. But then I found out that you play it with pencils and paper and these special dice, and that you're supposed to use your quote-unquote imagination or whatever. So I think this is a reference to Dungeons and Dragons, because they're talking about magic and monsters in the book, which sounds very similar. Advice from this, I guess when you're walking into social situations, they're supposed to be based around some sort of game or event. Maybe like look up the event or game that you're supposed to be doing before you end up going, so you have a decent idea of what you're getting yourself into. Decent advice? I don't know. Maybe. Possibly.
I landed on a page that had a paper written by Roderick.
Oh, fun.
Called 100 Years Ago. 100 Years Ago by Roderick Halfley. Sometimes I sit and wonder about stuff I don't know. Like, what the heck the Earth was like 100 years ago? It's a poem. Okay. Did cavemen ride on dinosaurs? Did flowers even grow? Well, we could guess, but that was back 100 years ago. I wish they built a time machine and they picked me to go to check out what the scene was like 100 years ago. Did giant spiders rule the Earth? Were deserts filled with snow? I wonder what the story was 100 years ago. And then the teacher put an F at the bottom of his paper and said, see me. So, just because you were good at something when you were younger does not mean that you're like amazing at it now. Because I'm sure you've like written some poetry or some papers and you were like, I was so good at this, like back in the day, like I was amazing at poetry. And then you probably like go back and look at it and you're like, really, was I amazing at poetry? Probably not. You know, that's my advice from this.
So your advice is
you reconsider your hobbies and what you're good at. And, you know, just really figure out, am I really good at this? Or did I just do it as a child? Like keep your talents hidden. Like keep your hobbies hidden until you're like sure that you're good at them. Because once they're out there, they're out there. Like the minute you are in a group setting with people and they know that you used to play piano, it's over for you. Like, you're done. Like, they're going to ask you to play and I'm going to be like, no, because I was literally a horrible, horrible student in piano. But it's over if they know that. So, you know, just like keep your hobbies to yourself until, you know, you figure out if you're really good at them, and then you can like, you know, flaunt it. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's about it for the episode. Anything we should plug?
Oh, yes. Our Instagram at Everything is Tyne. Our YouTube at Everything is Tyne. Our Twitter at Everything Tyne. Our Facebook page at Everything is Tyne. And our personal Instagram at Ruby and Jeremy. Yeah, we are very good at social media.
It's one of our talents that we flaunt.
Right, exactly. we are influencers.
We're influencers. We're so personal in our personal account.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like we're constantly just...
We're rivals to keeping up with the Kardashians with that Instagram account, so, you know.
Oh, that's a... I was gonna be like, we're spilling our hearts every day. You're like, we're the Kardashians.
Oh, well, you said, like...
Right. What happened, really, through that Instagram is, like, Ruby had diamond earrings, and she dropped one in the ocean, and now she's looking for it. Well, what I
was saying is that, like, you thought it was gonna be, like, a more deep, like... He thought we were going to be essentially like the next like TLC drama, like very heart to heart Hallmark. Hallmark type show where it's just like pouring your heart out. And really, I was just signing a deal with like whatever Keeping Up. What channel is that? Is Keeping Up with the Kardashians? What network is that?
Is it Bravo? E? Maybe
Bravo.
E or Bra? It's like E or Bravo, or it's one of those, I think.
We're fans, as you can tell.
Yeah, really what happened, though, with the personal Instagram is that I thought we were doing the Giving Tree, and actually we're doing Green Eggs and Ham, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, we are very much on the same page with things.
Speaking of home ec, see our reel of us cooking Green Eggs and Ham. It's definitely there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Green eggs and ham.
Yeah. Do you love food dye?
Yeah. I don't think if I ever made us make green eggs and ham, we'd actually eat green eggs and ham. You probably would not eat that if I was like, let's make that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all we got. Have a good week and bye.